be right, and I may be crazy, but I am at 1490 AM on the Morning Edge. I am Floyd J. Winters, and beside me is Augie. Welcome, Augie.
Good morning, Floyd, and good morning, Tampa Bay. Well, do we know what the accomplishments of the new candidates for president will be and are and have been? Do we really know? I mean, what have they really done? We're hearing all kinds of things. We've got Jeb Bush, who doesn't know whether he's for the war or against the war. The same thing is true of Rubio, and the questions never come clear enough for them. They just have such problems. And, of course, the war in Iraq is based upon, well, we can make the Shia and the Sunni come together. We don't want a sectarian war, and the Iraqi militia can stand aside. And lo and behold, we lose the capital of Anbar, which is 70 miles from, Baghdad. Look out. Iraqis will be taking another sandstorm and riding it right into Baghdad, and we won't have that anymore. And the whole notion that the Iraqis can run their own show and that putting the Sunnis in a comfortable position is going to happen, I don't think so. I think you're going to see Iran is the only real solution, and their military and their leadership, because that is what has been that's what drove out the ISIS out of Tikrit, and that's what's going to drive them out of Anbar and any other thing they're going to do. This is a regional war, and the Sunnis of Iraq may have to sit around and suck their thumb for a while, because they're not going to be in charge, and they certainly can't tell their leadership what's up and what's down. And we certainly cannot say we can bomb the ISIS into submission. We can have this victory, that victory, and the other victories, but we're going to have failure in that whole thing and saying we can retain what is called Iraq. Iraq has been predicted by many, many people, including our vice president, as being several countries or part of other countries. And the main one, the main two, I should say, is Kurdistan taking over the Kurds out of Iraq, and Iran taking over the Shia of southern Iraq. But having ISIS show up in Baghdad and taking over will be the blow of blows. But Anbar, the Anbar province is not a small. The capital of Anbar, they're losing that, even in the short run, hands over military weaponry and so forth in gobs to the ISIS. It's a bizarre thing.
Augie, before you leave that topic, sure. let's do a little bit of play from history here. And I got a little sound clip that I think may be interesting. Just a short sound clip from the one and only George W. Bush.
Our enemies would be no less willing. In fact, they would be eager to use biological or chemical or a nuclear weapon.
Let's go, George. Let's go.
Knowing these realities, America must not ignore the threat gathering against us. Facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof. The smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Oh, those mushroom
a
clouds.
A mushroom cloud.
Oh, my.
Do you remember?
I like mushrooms. You know, Floyd, I love mushrooms on pizza. I love mushrooms in so many ways. I love mushroom soup. I pick out even Campbell's cheap mushroom soup because I love mushrooms. And here's George Bush telling us to go to war over a mushroom cloud. Boy, we can't have a mushroom cloud there. Yeah. Holy cow. It might show up in America, a mushroom
cloud.
Well,
the whole thing. There's a whole bevy of Republican candidates running for president right now, and they have different positions on this drumbeat to go to war with Iraq.
Really? You think they're different? What's different about
them?
Well,
there are a number of differences, significant differences.
Oh, my God.
And let's take a look at that. First of all, the mushroom cloud. There was the whole idea that Saddam was going after nuclear weapons. And they sent Ambassador Joe Wilson to investigate, and he found out that the yellow cake uranium and the aluminum rods, all that was a bunch of nonsense. So to go after Joe Wilson, they went after his wife, Valerie Flam. And she was a CIA agent, and they outed her, and they tried to harass the Ambassador Joe Wilson because of the fact that he dared to challenge his assertion that Saddam Hussein was building nuclear bombs to go after the United States. Do you remember the whole idea, the way we should protect ourselves from the chemical weapons. The chemical weapons that Saddam Hussein will somehow mysteriously bring balloons off the coast of the United States and launch attacks against the United States. Do you remember the idea we should all go out and buy duct tape and plastic and duct tape to protect our windows from Saddam Hussein?
I remember this president sitting down with kids and reading from, I'm not sure what was the fairy tale he was reading to the little kindergartens when 9/11 went off.
In Sarasota,
in this region, in this town of and area and county of Sarasota, right where the Saudis had financed Muhammad Atta and others. I mean, this thing that passes for, that, you know, the embarrassment of trying to say somehow the gee whiz was a competent president, and golly gee, why, he didn't really make a mistake. It was just beyond his recognitions and intelligence to understand that he was going to screw this country financially by the trillions of dollars, and I mean a couple trillion at least, and then blame it on the next guy that inherits the mess. Who was that? No, that wasn't Osama bin Laden. No, that was Barack Obama. It sounds the same, doesn't it? He must have been one of them. So we've got a past president now who's going to become the chief advisor, or one of the chief advisors, of
Jeb Bush.
Good old Jeb Wiz himself.
Jeb Bush.
He's looking more like his brother day by day. And I watched Andy Card, who's formerly with the Bush administration, an advisor there, saying, well, you know, every president takes past president's advice. Well, I would tell you this. The president that takes Gee Whiz's advice is going to be looked at pretty skeptically, to put it mildly.
Well, just looking at the facts, though, because Lord, right now we've got Rubio's position and Paul's position and Hillary's position.
I want you to tell me what they are.
We're going to. Let's just take a look at the facts before we look at it. We looked at the mushroom cloud speech from George W. Bush. The fact is that 15 of the 19 hijackers at 9/11 came from oil-rich, Bush-friendly Saudi Arabia. Not a single one of them came from Iraq.
Well, one of them came from Yemen.
That's the fact, but they did not come from Iraq. So every time Bush talked about 9/11,
they didn't come from Afghanistan either.
He mentioned Iraq, but not in the same sentence. It would be two sentences before or two sentences after.
You're using logic. Yeah. You think this is about logic?
But we're going to take a look at this and compare it to Rubio's stance and Paul's stance, Rand Paul's stance, in just a moment. Yeah. But take a look at the history, look at the future, and look at the present that we have right now. So the hijackers did not come from Iraq. The Iraq was not making nuclear weapons. And the ambassador, Joe Wilson, who went down there and saw firsthand, was ostracized. His wife was outed as a CIA agent. There was no need for plastic and duct tape. There was no biological weapons that was a threat to the United States. Colin Powell, when he went to the UN, had literally cartoons to show the chemical weapons trucks that Saddam Hussein may have had. It was a rectangle for the cab of the thing, another rectangle for the trailer part of it, circles for the wheels, and he says, these are what the biological weapons trucks look like. They were damn cartoons that were done by third grade level.
They were not even good cartoons.
They were third grade level. They were, and Colin Powell, that was his most embarrassing.
That's insulting a third grader.
It really was. So this whole thing was fabricated to go after Saddam Hussein.
This is what Eisenhower
warned us about. And it cost us almost 4,500 American lives, tens of thousands of wounded, over $1 trillion of American treasure.
That. We just said Memorial Day is Monday, Floyd. Monday, a week after Friday, the weekend, at the end of this coming weekend. And the people who piously put their hands on their chest and salute the flag and all this stuff say verbally they care, but in fact, by the way they vote, they put these people in office again and again and again. This goofy governor is shutting down the
government.
This party, the GOP, the government of the puny, who doesn't believe in government. This is the people we're putting into office to do this stuff, Floyd. And now you're talking about their candidates coming up. Rubio, who can't make up his mind whether he's Latino born in this country or Latino from Cuba or what the hell he is. And Jeb Bush, who can speak Spanish, but he can't speak intelligently about the Iraq war and fumbles himself through this last week, looks like a real joke. And fortunately, and Scott Walker is doing the same thing. They're all echoing, trying to somehow protect the image of gee whiz as if that was a worthwhile image. So what you're talking about is the willingness to go to war, and I'm in full agreement with the logic.
Yeah, the whole idea of a preemptive war, even though there was no trace of uranium, even though Hans Blix, the UN inspector, weapons inspector, would go to Iraq, and Rumsfeld would say, here's where the chemical weapons are. Well, they were looking from satellite views. Hans Blix was on the ground in the building, says, no, it's not there. There's no evidence it was ever there.
Well, he was probably lying, Floyd.
From the UN, yes.
Of course, they're worth. No, the UN's worthless. Anybody who disagrees with this conservative notion of how to conduct business, the only business of the conservative party in this country is to go to goddamn war. Pardon me, but that's the truth. They want war. They finance everything around war. They want to cut all of the Social Security. They want to turn it to privatize it, anything to take money away from the so-called entitlements and all of that. And where do they want to put it? What you're talking about. They want to go to war.
Well, we do have the world's largest military budget. As far as they were saying, we're weakening our power. We have 10 aircraft carriers. The rest of the world has something like 11 or 12. So we have...
Well, wait a minute. What about China?
Adding China, we have like 10 aircraft carriers, and the rest of the world has something like 11 or 12 combined.
Yeah,
so we have almost half of the aircraft carriers in the world. We are spending something like 37% of the U.S. military spend, the world military spending comes from the U.S. Over a third of all the spending in the world for the military comes from the U.S. But going back to the fact...
The budget for this year alone... You hear, well, it's only $500 billion. No, folks, you don't know what the CIA budget is. You don't know the entire Pentagon budget, which is what Floyd is talking about. It's close to $1 trillion every year. And if you cut other things, that goes into that. Your total $3 trillion budget. A third of our total budget goes to the military, Floyd.
And it's interesting because listen to the conservative talk shows this week. They're saying we've got to cut these entitlements like Social Security.
Well, for what?
Because we have
for the military.
Because we have, and it's exactly what he said. We have to strengthen our military. So let's take a look at what's happened. There was no yellow cake. There was no aluminum. The aluminum rods weren't for nuclear weapons. There were no chemical weapons. Saddam Hussein was not involved in 9/11. They were largely from Bush-friendly Saudi Arabia, oil-rich Saudi Arabia that came here. It cost us 4,500 American lives, over tens of thousands of wounded, over $1 trillion.
We lost 50,000 in Vietnam, though.
And it put ISIS in power. There was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq at the time. There was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq at the time. There were Christians there. The Christians can't be there anymore. There were Christians. Women had rights. It was a secular nation. So let's take a look at Rubio, what he's done.
So Rubio.
Rubio has said, when asked the question, was it worth it, would you do it again? He said that while the war was based on mistaken intelligence, so he acknowledges the intelligence was mistaken, which I was aware that it was mistaken. Most of the world knew it, but it was just amazing, this drumbeat to war. Although the war was based on mistaken intelligence, the world is still a better place with Saddam gone. So, here's the interesting thing. Yeah. Saddam was a bad guy. But let's look what Rand Paul says in contrast. And here, this is why I like Rand Paul as a candidate. He says, Saddam was serving as a counterbalance to Iran. And removing Saddam Hussein from power led to much of the turmoil now rocking the Middle East. And Rand Paul has it right.
I don't quite agree with
Saddam was the enemy of our enemy. He was the enemy of Al-Qaeda. He was also the counterbalance to the Shiites in Iran.
Arabia, folks.
He was the counterbalance of the Shiites.
He was a Sunni.
He was a Sunni. But he was the counterbalance of the Shiites in Iran. He was the counterbalance to... He was the opposition to Al-Qaeda and secular
He had a famous thing. You put, if you're a religious character, you put up your head, I'll chop it off. And he did that.
And
the imams and all of the clerics who stood up against him in their Sunni or Shia, he would do that, particularly Shia. The thing that's on this point, that it's now time for revenge for our martyrs, says the Sheikh Faith El-Asawi, who was dressed in a military uniform. He checked off the destruction wrought at the hands of Islamic State, or as he called them, the rats of ISIS. 25,000 homes level, he said. The bridges burned and the economy devastated. He and other speakers made an explicit plea to the Shiite prime minister in Baghdad, al-Abadi. arm and support our men, and we will take the fight ourselves to the Islamic State. That event was 11 days ago at a military base here in Amara, Fallujah. Remember Fallujah, where they hung the four contractors from the bridge?
Oh, yes.
Burned them alive?
American contractors.
Yeah, American contractors. One of the last cities of Anbar province in government hands. It was billed as the beginning of a government program to arm and train local Sunni tribesmen to battle the Sunni extremists of the Islamic State. A critical gesture to show that the Shiite and Sunni Iraqis could unite in the fight and to put the Sunni residents at ease, mostly protect the Sunni residents, you know, with the defenders from their same communities. Now, with the fall of Anbar's capital, Ramadi, to the Islamic State, it's illustrated the failure of that strategy. And I'm telling you, what they did to let this happen was they held back on the Iranian Shiites from coming in and driving ISIS out. They are the ones who saved Tikrit, and they're the only ones who can save Ramadi and prevent a future takeover of Baghdad, which is all Sunni. So this whole thing falls to other leaders other than what we've got there. And it's our fault for saying to the Iranians, hold back, hold back. They are going to inherit the two-thirds of Iraq that are Shia, which is what is about to happen. This country is no longer Iraq. That's the problem. It is gone.
Well, after the world wars, the British, largely the British Empire, but the allied nations divided up. Kurdistan and the Shiite area and the Sunni area, and not divided them up, but united them. Three different antagonistic elements into one country.
They put a majority under the thumb of Sunnis, which satisfied Saudi Arabia in Baghdad, Baghdad being the major capital. The provinces were mixed, and the southern part primarily was strictly Shia, and that still is the case, and that's been always the source of agitation. Mm-hmm. We went in there and discombobulated the whole thing, made a mess of it at the direction of Gee Whiz. Good old George Whiz Bush did that.
Now, when the father went into the Kuwaiti war, the war, a Desert Storm, he got to Baghdad. He knew he could take it over, but he realized that taking over Baghdad and going into Iraq and just taking out the leadership would have been the worst thing to do.
The Bushes and the Saudis are buddies. And the Saudis probably said to Gee Whiz Sr., hey, don't do that because that's our guy.
Well, he was a former head of the CIA. He was intelligent. He knew what was going on. He had enough common sense.
It wasn't his decision not
to go into Baghdad. But whatever, it did not happen. George W. Bush, however, just had a different idea, and it just cost us $1 trillion. It cost us 4,500 American lives, tens of thousands of wounded, and it unleashed Al Qaeda, and then now ISIS.
Desert storm to desert stumble.
Yes, that's a good analogy of what happened. And again, what's interesting is the different positions candidates are taking on it, and I liked Rand Paul's position saying that, yes, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, but he was a counterbalance to what's going on there now.
Rand Paul is a libertarian, and he has a big sway among the primary voters, and he's going to have an impact in this thing. And it's going to be interesting to see where this thing falls. And Ted Cruz has made similar kinds of statements. I would say that the dark horse of Rand Paul is looking darker and stronger as we go along because of these kinds of admissions and these kinds of analyses.
And he's not just playing a policy wonk. He's basically saying this is the reality. He has the...
I just wonder how many Republicans will vote for him in the primary. I think that's what's going to be...
And again, that does hurt because the primaries bring out the more radical elements of each party, whether it's Democrat or Republican.
The planks are radical. They're anti-abortion. They're anti-woman in so many respects. They're no ERA. There's no equal rights thing. They're anti-minimum wage.
But they are pro-gun.
Well, and we see what happened down in Texas, the renegade, the wild shootout, the Wild West shootout in Texas. And all these guys are for the NRA. Excuse me. Yeah, so what is... You know, it came up on Morning Joe this morning, Floyd, and this goes to your point. What are the accomplishments of Hillary Clinton? What are and they did an interview with a group of Democrats, and they said, and the Democrats were sitting there saying, "Well, I can't think of the accomplishments, and I don't know, but she's a strong person. She's a decision maker. The whole business is such that she's someone we can trust to knows how to run government." She's got experience in being part of government. So they actually were saying, we believe in government, and we want someone who can actually do the job. So this is, do we have a caller?
We have a caller on the air. Okay. He likes what we're saying and likes our show so far. Welcome, Lawrence, and what do you have to say?
Okay. Good morning, Lawrence. Oh, you're fading from my
Lawrence, head. I cannot... Oh, wait, let's try this again. Lawrence,
there
we go. We've got you on the air now.
No, repeat what you said, Lawrence. Sorry.
Yeah, I said I got to plug up the holes in my trailer. The bushes are coming through the woodwork. The country, luckily, you guys opened up my mind on the bushes. You know, I got all this on my DVDs, you know, everything, you know, ever since he got into office, you know,
uh-huh.
All this BS and everything. Don't forget Tony Blair now. Tony Blair admitted that he lied to help out the W for the war.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And now, don't forget, I believe Bush thinks, W thinks he's a prophet. You know why? He stated on TV, he said, God told me to go to war.
He said that. Now, you know, Lawrence, I don't recall.
He did say that.
Yeah, I don't recall him.
I don't recall that either.
That's news to me.
I got it on DVD.
You've got a video of it. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, a lot of people don't realize there was a thing called the Iran-Contra thing where drugs were traded for weapons back and forth between El Salvador and...
Yeah, the plane, excuse me, the pilot, he got laid off on his regular job, so he went cargo. He got shot down, and all these papers that George Bush had, he went to them and he gave them to the media. They aired that on the TV. They were trading guns.
Drugs for guns.
For drugs, yeah.
The one thing that people are unaware of is the guy that ran at the time was in charge of Southern Airways, and that was, guess who? John Ellis Bush, Jeb as they like to call him. I call him G-Wiz number two, or J-Wiz number two. So you have a curious situation. And then all of the conspirators were pardoned in the last exercise of power by Daddy G-Wiz, who took him off so they wouldn't be prosecuted. Poindexter, Weinberger, and all of those people were about to go before a grand jury, and maybe even Wolfowitz.
And the yellow cake and all that,
all the lying that they do is just amazing.
Excuse me. Don't forget Powell, when he was running against Obama.
Right.
He said, that was all fabricated, that war. Mm-hmm. That those were all lies to the American people. He said that too on TV.
You know, it's already in our budget to conduct a war with a lot of money spent and so forth. So why not just continue warring all the time? Why not keep that going, Lawrence?
Well, we're going to keep our show going. We're going to take a commercial break right now.
Okay, somebody else wants to get on. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, every time I think about the bushes,
call
you know,
back
I,
later in the show.
My stomach turns. Okay, guys, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, do we have another caller?
Yeah. We lost our second caller. The second caller, if you will, call back after the commercial. I took both of the callers off by accident. Call back after the commercial. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors right now.
animal walks with the animals, talks with the animals.
Sarasota is home to a true gift, the Posture Clinic of Sarasota, with Dr. Mark D'Amato. 4450 South Tamiami Trail, Dr. D'Amato is a veterinary chiropractor, treating horses, dogs, or your favorite four-legged friend. First and foremost, animal chiropractic care is not intended to replace traditional veterinary medicine. Complementary care is a type of care that works with your vet, and certainly not instead of them. To find out more information, call Dr. Mark D'Amato at 941-927-7009. That's 941-927-7009. Oh, and by the way, Dr. Mark treats two-legged patients, too.
With the animals, with the animals,
and we are back on the Morning Edge.
We had a caller that got cut off, so please call back, caller, and we can continue the conversation. It's a situation. Lawrence before was someone who was citing the deception of the Bush Gee Whiz administration prior to Obama, but there was that deception to keep the war going happened during the father's administration, because the stories came out of Kuwait that Saddam had gone in there and torn up a neonatal ward in a hospital and threw the babies on the floor and all this sort of thing, all made up by this one woman who was a Saudi princess. This whole creation of fabric for people to buy into, continuing to spend the money to support the war, the military-industrial complex, it just continues and continues to our discuss. I think we may have a call.
Yeah. Welcome. The other Lawrence, welcome to the Morning Edge.
Good
Do you
morning,
have a comment
Lawrence.
To make for us?
Yes, good morning. I was wondering, August, did you get a chance to watch Morning Joe this morning?
I certainly did.
I was wondering, what kind of name do you have for Mika Brzezinski and her type of comments?
Well, let's start with you.
Other people
I,
that
I didn't,
were...
I did not hear Mika say much because she was listening. When I listened and watched, she was listening to the Democrats who were being interviewed as to what they thought Hillary's accomplishments were. But so what were you...
I didn't hear any of those accomplishments. I was curious. Did you hear any?
No, they were basically saying they wanted a strong woman and they couldn't think of them. And they said they know...
They couldn't think of an accomplishment, right? Do you have one? I thought I'd ask you.
I think staying on as Secretary of State and having to tolerate Daryl Issus and the Benghazi phony hearings, yeah, I think that's something is standing up to that. Yeah,
to the Benghazi hearings was an accomplishment.
Yeah, because it was so filled with lies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay, I was wondering what you thought about their questioning, Mika Brzezinski's questioning of all she has to do is turn over the server.
I totally agree with that.
And so, since Hillary will not turn over the server...
I think there should be a subpoena for it.
Okay, and when there is no subpoena for it...
Well, then the judiciary is not doing its job, so something...
I understand, but when this all does not happen...
Oh, well.
You'll still support her because of her... You can't think of an accomplishment.
Well, when the secretary, what is the accomplishment of any Secretary of State?
No, I was talking about Hillary.
No, I know you are, but I'm making an analogy.
Give me an accomplishment of Colin Powell.
Yeah,
what did he do?
What was his accomplishment?
No, I was talking about her Secretary of State. There are other people running for president that do have accomplishments, but we were talking about Hillary's lack of name one, and I was just saying,
Lawrence,
you'll still support somebody that has no accomplishments.
Colin Powell was thinking about running for president.
He's not running for president.
But he was thinking about it. So just, if you will, as a counterpart, just give me an accomplishment.
How about John Edwards?
I think the better question is to what is it that a Secretary of State can and should do in terms of bringing things
so
out.
So none
do.
Of them have
most
accomplishments,
they,
so we shouldn't ask her. Can you name any accomplishment she's had, period?
Excuse me, Lawrence. Most of what they do is serve the president in the way they represent things, and it's the president who gains the accomplishment out of that. So I think she was respected. She was she had talks with Putin. She didn't see I looked into his eyes and I saw he had a soul instead of the boot to look back at her. anyway, but as to an accomplishment, no, I don't think she shows one that that matters much.
Well, I kind of disagree with that. The fact is that she did meet with those foreign leaders. We did not get ourselves involved in additional wars. We wound down what happened in Afghanistan. We wound down part of the involvement in Iraq during that time. I think there were some good things that have happened. I mean, we haven't been under attack since 9/11.
Yeah, I don't think you can give her that
credit. We can't give her credit for that. But the fact is, just like Colin Powell before, and I thought Colin Powell was
well, I think Colin Powell is a smart man. And yeah. To take the cartoons, as you brought out before, the way they were presented, and stand up before the UN and say this is evidence of a threat, is a joke on the American public. So, you know, you have the loss of four people's lives at Benghazi, which Hillary was responsible for in some ways. But the individual who was the head of that embassy was not at the embassy when he was killed. He was at a little office in the middle of town, and he was overtaken in that circumstance. He made himself a peril to himself and to the other three people.
Well, but
and that is not Hillary's fault. That was. And then the other thing that Mr. Petraeus, who was fiddling around under his desk with the secretary, and not providing response to the calls from the CIA to the CIA to act and protect the people in Benghazi. That's the bigger deal that's not being talked about.
Yeah,
here.
But I'm amazed at the other sides, how they will look at Benghazi.
Well,
we lost four Americans in Benghazi. We lost 4,500 Americans in Iraq because the Secretary of State presented to the United States, the Secretary of Defense presented to the United States.
I don't think, Floyd, I agree those are bad things, but I don't think that's the right. Let's Floyd.
Okay,
let's
Lawrence.
Let's go here.
So,
I'd
like to ask you, in regards to Benghazi, all of Hillary's emails during that period of time had been scrubbed and gone. Do you not think that that is relevant to the subject of her trustworthiness and a possible wrongdoing?
Well, I agree with the point you're trying to make, although if you look at Colin Powell, he also used private email when he was in the same position. So what Hillary did was the same thing as her Republican predecessor
Floyd,
did as well.
Floyd and I disagree on this one.
But I do feel that she was wrong. I don't think we disagree. I think that she was wrong about what happened with the emails. Whether you're on a small condo association or a board of education, your email or the State Department, your email should be public record. She followed the precedent of the predecessors.
She would never say she did that.
Yeah, I think what she did was a mistake. I absolutely agree with Lawrence.
Let Lawrence respond here.
Yeah,
Lawrence,
Floyd, was there not an edict set by President Obama in 2009 that is illegal to do what she did?
Yes, he did.
His transparency edicts,
or no?
I think,
is there a 2009 law by Obama?
I'm saying, Lawrence, to give us a chance without being shouting, because shouting doesn't make you more right.
It just
makes you more...
The answer to his question
is yes. And I agree with that. I'm disappointed with Obama's lack of transparency at times as well.
Well, that's a side issue, though. Lawrence, go ahead, open him up. Lawrence,
2009, was there a law by Obama?
Yes
or no?
We've already said that, Lawrence.
Yeah, Lawrence, you keep on asking the same question. You call in every week with the same questions. Benghazi, email servers, emails. And every time we agree with your points, you come back the next week and ask the same questions. Do you have anything new for us, Lawrence, to add?
The answer is yes, there was a 2009 law.
Yes, we both said
Lawrence, can you do us a favor, please, Lawrence? Ask us a new question after we agree with you. Just realize we're agreeing with you. Just make a point. Kind of add to the conversation, Lawrence.
Did Colin Powell have the same law?
No.
So then why do you bring up Colin Powell
The only reason I'm going to defend Floyd on this one, because I really think the reason to bring up Colin Powell is the man's an intelligent man. And to do what he did, to go before the United Nations with that obviously corny amateurish, incompetent set of pictures to justify to the world, through the United Nations, something that should not have been done, that the audience was looking at like, are you out of your friggin' mind? I mean, that, come on, Lawrence, be a little honest here. As to the nature and seriousness of the server, we will not know what that is until she provides that server to be gone into and looked at to see if there's something. At the same time that was going on, the Benghazi thing, the Petraeus thing, he's gotten a sentence of probation for 3 years for his revealing information classified
to his mistress.
To his mistress and her twin sister from Tampa, Florida. Let's go back to Lawrence.
Now, Lawrence is gone right now. I want to thank Lawrence for asking the same questions again and again and again about Benghazi.
I didn't realize
and the
he
server.
Was gone. I did want his response.
But anyway, so I just thought it was interesting to see the different positions people have. And yes, I think Hillary, she deleted over 30,000 emails.
I just think the server issue and the scrubbed emails, how important they are, will have to be looked at to see how important they are, if at all. And the Benghazi thing being what it is, I'm not so sure that that's a worthwhile thing. I don't think that people who are actually considering what's at stake here care about that much. I think it's gotten to a point. What kind of president will these various candidates make?
Have the other caller just one question. Thank you for coming back on, Lawrence.
Yeah, there you go, Lawrence. You're back.
Yes, Lawrence.
I think you're...
Okay, here we go. Now you're on the air.
Here you go, Lawrence.
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, I just want to add on Colin Powell and Mr. Lawrence over there. Yeah, and the other Lawrence from St. Pete.
Right.
He believes in cartoons. See, that's how his mind works. Third grader, he's an educated man, but he doesn't use common sense.
Well, you do know, Lawrence, that an educated man still has to read things that disagree with his point of view. And I'm not sure that Lawrence, the other Lawrence, does that. I watch Fox News and other things myself just to get another Megyn Kelly, who has put Jeb on the spot about would he go to war again based
on... I see all that TV. Okay, here's the deal. Colin Powell. Now, can you imagine how Florida Power, how big that factory is to produce electric power?
Yeah. Yeah, what about
But the Wall Street Lawrence got a small little mind. You know, when Powell said they moved it and it's on flat cars. They moved the train around. Can you imagine how many flat cars they have to have and go through the desert and hide that stuff, that factory? Now, here's another example.
Well, wait a minute, hold on. One reason you're right is because at that time there was a no-fly zone set over Iraq. And so anything like that, what you're talking about, would be immediately spotted and leveled instantly. So go ahead, Lawrence.
But it's impossible to put a factory on flat cars and then move it all around to hide it from, like you said.
You do know, Lawrence, that you're two people. One day you're the good Lawrence, and the next minute you're the other kind of Lawrence, whatever that is. So you've got a double character here.
Well, no. Oh, wait, me?
I'm just joking. I am joking with you.
Okay, so what's going to happen, though, that I find of interest, coming back to today, as opposed to rehashing the past.
Lloyd's asking you a question, Lawrence.
As opposed to rehashing the past, what will come up in the presidential elections will more questions like we saw from Megyn Kelly asking Jeb Bush, was it worth going into
Iraq?
You're
starting to see Fox News get serious about these interviews, unlike the past, because I think they're looking at the relative competence of the lineup of, 17 people running for president, for crying out.
And it's going to be a significant issue in the near future, and I think it's worth examining right now.
Yeah.
So,
but hold on, Lawrence. We're going to get another caller in here. Just hang on. I'm going to bring this other caller in.
Okay, caller two, you're live on...
He gets on the air and he agrees with Colin Powell. Are you there?
Oh,
God.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, he agrees with Colin Powell, and he said, yeah. He said, they're burying all on the ground. Can you imagine burying Tico underneath the ground? And W, with it. Okay, thank you.
That's all right. Well, you're right about that, Lawrence. He did do that, and that's the problem. He just came up with a sound effect that discounted his call. So it's a too bad situation. But going back and trying to understand why we cost so many lives that we cost. Well, the excuse has been, I've heard people say, well, it's only 4,500. We had 50,000 in Vietnam. You know, we should have lost a few more lives to justify the war. I mean, we spend $1 trillion. Why not have a few more dead? Why not do the boots on the ground? John McCain, Floyd, is talking about bringing boots back on the ground and fight ISIS directly. All we need now is a bunch of captured American soldiers going on television getting their heads cut off. I wonder what that would, how that
what
would...
What happened to the Jordanian pilot, which they captured and put him in a cage,
burned
him alive. Yeah.
In a cage, set him on fire, and burn him alive. So that's what we want to... We really want to enjoy that that little bit of comedy that they come forward with. It's, but this country here seems to be in a theater mode, Floyd, because years ago in the South... just like the Saudis do in Saudi Arabia, they have lynchings for public entertainment, stonings for public entertainment. And in the South, in Texas, they sold popcorn and other things, caramel corn and so forth, when they did lynchings in sports stadiums in Texas, for crying out loud. This is not isolated to other countries and not ourselves. We have a similar history and background. There's a song called Strange Fruit. It is a damning song with the poetry involved in that. We have a history, this country, and we look at these other countries and say, oh my God, how terrible they are. Well, wait, what we did to black people in those days up until the civil rights laws and even after was horrific, absolutely horrific. And during slavery, even more so. So this righteousness that we put forward, a Christian nation in the South especially, had no problem separating blacks from whites. And no Baptist minister, no people of other religions in the South, Catholics were looked down on by the, and Jews were looked down on in the South. You couldn't be one of those and fit in with the fabric of power in the Southern plantation mentality of Southern United States, the other country. And without the interstate highway system and Eisenhower and what he did, we would still be where we were. We'd be a third world nation trying to be one. And we're working hard at going back to that, Floyd. I mean, this thing of warring and finding the ways to get our people into war, to spend their money willingly. And then candidates, as you said earlier, going up on television saying, we've got to cut discretionary spending. We've got to cut...
Entitlements. Social Security, they call entitlements.
Right.
People who have worked their lives... to put savings into Social Security, the government made a promise, and because we have things like Social Security and Medicare, they're called entitlements. Well, I don't understand. Those are earned benefits. And I've heard Republican leaders and Republican commentators saying these should be cut back, and just this week, heard it twice this week, we have to cut back on entitlements so we can put more money into our military budget when we are spending something like 37% of all the military budgets in the whole entire world right now. And it's not enough.
But we got the money, Floyd.
And the thing is, we're supposed to be more of a police state in the world. We're supposed to be the policeman of the entire
world. Well, did you
world.
Hear the terrible thing that Obama did? He put an executive order against selling military equipment to local police forces. Now, we've seen this horrific behavior.
Well, kind of. Because does it look good to have police armed with bayonets or artillery weapons facing down a civil protest? It just doesn't seem like the kind of thing to do. You want to see the U.S. military sitting there with bayonets or major armaments when people are protesting.
When you're going to dress your police as soldiers, why have police? Why not just say to the federal government or to the state government, bring in your army and you do the policing. We take state taxes anyway. We cut this part of our budget out, get rid of the local police force, and you make it a state police force. You can bring your police in from anywhere, and you you do the traffic ticketing, you do all the things the police do, but you dress as military. They do this in Mexico. You've got people.
Well, they had to in Mexico recently. One of the towns, the police force was very corrupt. They had to disband the whole entire police force.
The only way most police in Mexico get a gun is if the mob or the cartel gives it to them and hands it to them. And then they're on the payroll for the cartels. That's the history way, way back in Mexico. And when you're leaving Mexico or you're arriving in Mexico, don't drop anything out the window of a car because a military person will stop you. And in order to get away from him, you got to bribe him. So empty out your wallet, hand that over. Is that what we're heading into, Floyd? I wonder.
No, I don't think so. But again, so that's why Obama does not want to have artillery in the hands of the police department.
But
it just doesn't make sense.
Some Republican conservatives say, well, he's overreaching. He's a dictator. So the next thing for a dictator is to have a police force from the federal government, right?
He's a communist. He's a fascist. He's like Hitler.
Everything you've
he's
ever
like
hated.
Stalin.
And he's bad. And on top of that, he's black.
But it's amazing to hear the same network call him a communist, which is ultra left, and a fascist, which is ultra right. He's like,
Lincoln would never make it in the Republican Party if he came back to do a transcontinental railroad and to do a interstate highway system and all these things, which are liberal ideas. This man, Lincoln, would never make it. We got a couple of calls.
We've got
anyway.
John on. John,
morning,
welcome
morning,
to
John.
The Morning Edge.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, John. What's up?
Yeah, just some thoughts. And as I heard the discussion earlier this morning, maybe a little context. I think an interesting discussion would be all this talk about emails and was it nefarious that she scrubbed her server? The amount of money that the Clintons have made in speeches, et cetera, et cetera. And let's remember, Ronald Reagan made a couple of $1 million back in the 80s, which in today's value would be about $4 million.
Well, I think a little more than that, but about five times.
For one or two speeches in Japan. So, this is not without precedent, but here's the context. On one hand, you have the emails, the server, the issues about money, was it right to go into Libya? Maybe it was right to go into Libya, and there was no follow-up. And then on the other hand, you have, okay, if we elect a Republican president and the Republicans maintain control of the Senate and the House, what are the consequences for the nation? Well, number one, how many Supreme Court conservative right-wing Supreme Court justices are going to be appointed that are going to last the rest of our lifetime, half of our children's lifetimes? What's Obamacare is going to be repealed, so 20+ million people are going to lose their health insurance. What is going to be done about global warming? The Paul Ryan budget cuts that are just so extreme and devastating the safety net. And again, shift the tax burden, and get tax cuts to the rich and cut a lot of programs that help, kids go to college, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So let's keep this in context. Okay. What happens if a Republican is elected president and the Republicans maintain control of Congress and they're now able to pass everything that they've wanted to pass? Bernie Sanders puts a lot of this in context when he talks about just the Republican budget that's being presented this year. Imagine if there's a Republican president and he has the ability to appoint some of these Supreme Court justices who are well over 60, 70 years old. To me, that's the context I look at this. I am not going to vote for a Republican almost under any circumstance because I think it would be horrendous for this country.
Well, Abraham Lincoln would agree with you, I believe. But I mean, the joke that big government's the problem. The man did the transcontinental railway right during the middle of the Civil War, a war and a major stimulus to the country, and tying one West and East together. This is not the Republican Party today. That's why I became a Democrat, just to get away from what the craziness this so-called conservative party is about. And Supreme Court justices, we saw what can happen with an election with a 5-4 vote, that one vote turns an election around and gives it to the least popular of the two candidates. I mean, what a joke that is on the public. So what other bad jokes are on waiting for the public in the future if a Republican president comes into power and can pass this legislation that, from their platform, which is anti-abortion, anti-woman, anti-poor, the whole thing, and make the rich richer and the poor poorer? I mean, this is what you're saying, I think.
Right, and Bernie Sanders, who I don't think will be elected president, I think it's unfair. And,
He's going to be on the stage for six.
I sure hope so, because he offers some good viewpoints.
It's already agreed he's going to be on the stage with Hillary, at least, if not more. And now yesterday it turns out that Elizabeth Warren has not said no to the latest question about running for the presidency. So if nothing else, she puts her foot in the water, the splash will go really wide, and what you're talking about may become the kind of conversation we need to have, John. So,
and again, Augie and Floyd, I totally agree with you, and the framing that you hear from Senator Sanders to me is just so clear and so instructive. He says, yes, let's look at some of these other countries in Europe. Why is it that people who are admitted to college go for free? Why is it, Augie, as one thing that you pointed out in your travels through Europe, half of Germany now have installed solar panels.
Solar and wind. Solar and
right.
Wind.
Why can these countries have universal health care that get much better results for all of its people at almost half the cost? Well, and he scoffed at and he's laughed. We used to be a country that said we're going to put a man on the moon in 10 years. Okay, and we used to look around the world and we'd look to the skies, et cetera, and we'd look, as a people who believed in progress, we would look to solutions to solve the problems. Okay, what Bernie Sanders just proposed yesterday, for example, a small, tiny tax on, these huge, huge trades that go on every day on Wall Street, a small, tiny tax would enable all college kids to go to college for free in this country.
Well, there's a proposal.
These are the things that we need to talk about.
There's a proposal.
Education.
Stay on, John.
Are we going to bomb Iran?
Yes, stay on, John. There's a proposal in the Congress right now to make all public education free to this country. You can go and get a free education as an American to Germany right now. They will give it to you at no cost. So there's countries looking at this country with deprived education and offering it to us. Thanks, John.
I want to thank all of our callers, John and Lawrence and the other Lawrence, as we had our discussion on Iraq and Hillary and other different issues of the current.
It does touch things. People are starting to think seriously, Floyd, about the consequences, as John noted. So beware of the Supreme Court.
And we'll be back. We will be back on Friday on the Morning Edge at 1490 AM. Thank you for listening.